Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, welcome to another remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. We recorded this music live 5 years ago. In fact, it was 5 years ago this very week that we had the band Lanzendorf come in to play a live set for us. This was downstairs in our ground floor performance venue known as the Green Space in front of a live audience. Lanzendorf had just released their debut album. The band, though, is comprised of members of two of indie rock's favorite groups, The National and Beirut. And they got their name, Lanzendorf, spelled with no vowels, by the way, by combining Benjamin Lance with Scott and Brian Devendorf. Aaron Arntz rounds out the quartet, and all four of them are riding out the pandemic in different cities, but somehow they've figured out a way to play some of their new songs for us live today. The new album is called simply Lanzendorf 2, and this piece is called The Zarek Step.
Thank you.
That's called The Zerik Step. It's a live performance by the band Lanzendorf. Joining us once again on Soundcheck, only this time through the tiles. Last time it was a lot of fun having you guys in the green space, our ground floor performance studio there on Varick Street. But obviously that sort of thing isn't quite happening yet. The members of Lanzendorf, Benjamin Lance on guitar and electronics, the Devendorf brothers, Scott on bass, Brian on drums, Aaron Arnst playing piano and some pocket piano there. Scott, what is a pocket piano?
Pocket piano is a synth. There's a bass synth, there's a kind of arpeggiating piano synth. I think is out of production, but we have one, luckily.
Mm-hmm. Ben, this first piece that we've just heard called The Zerik Step will have sent many listeners rushing to the dictionary to look up the word Zerik,
yeah.
X-E-R-I-C. Where'd you guys come up with that title?
We were trying to kind of identify each of the songs, even before any of them had lyrics or anything, and Zerik Step never ended up with words or singing at all.
Right.
Tried to identify how its character in a sort of elemental way, and not all of this title stuck, but with Zerik Step, it certainly was perfect to have this sort of a treeless plain, a broad expanse, eventually, of course, interrupted by the thunder of Scott and Brian.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, for a word that kind of means dry, there's nothing dry about this piece. I mean, do you remember Edgar Froese did a record, the guy from Tangerine Dream, founder of Tangerine Dream, did a record called Epsilon in Malaysian Pale, which was this very very kind of tropical version of krautrock.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what this piece reminds me of. Not Zerik at all.
I think at some point I was watching, I don't remember why, but I was watching a video and it was featuring, you know, a like several thousand year old tree that that is not going to survive the drying out of the North African steppe. And essentially, that's right. The video was about the changing climate and topography of the North African Zerik Steppe, and it was fascinating to think. And this one tree had managed to survive all the other trees because it just happened to have kind of the best spot. But then it was all alone, no partners, no friends, and you know, hanging on to whatever moisture it could find. Anyway, that's I guess partially in there in the titling, I suppose.
All right, so. Scott, having brought up the topic of krautrock, this is something we talked about last time you guys were, you know, playing live for us in the green space, that is kind of one of the elements that people hear in Lanzendorf's music. It's a style of music that, you know, goes back 30, 40 years. It's sort of before your time, I would think. How did you guys get into that sound world?
Yeah, absolutely. It predates us almost completely. Ben was into it much earlier via his older brother, Fritz, who's a head of that sort of music.
And so he
gets my brother and I came to it much later. I mean, there were bits of it that we encountered in the 80s when we were growing up, Kraftwerk and things like that. But I think really like when I think Neu reissued their records in the early 2000s as a box set, and we were on tour a lot with our other band, The National, and we were listening to CDs in the car, and those were really great driving music. We were driving vans around Europe, and Ben can recall many of these drives, I'm sure, too, when we were traveling together. But yeah, it's really good traveling music, and I think just that's sort of our love of it is this kind of like, you know, long highway kind of vibe that happens when you're listening to it.
Much of that music is instrumental, but Ben, a lot of this record is not instrumental, it's vocals. So was that something you guys went into as a plan, or is that just something that kind of unfolded naturally in the process of making the record?
Yeah, unfolded naturally, completely so. It's the type of thing that that we really, our plan was to have no plan, and that part worked out great. We enjoyed that very much. But then the lyrical side, the vocal side of things, it was obvious when certain bits of music really wanted to have a voice with it, wanted, you know, to have a human voice singing a melody, and it just seemed to already be there in a way that you just had to kind of tap into to what we had already done to find the what it wanted, essentially.
Yeah, I think people have sort of felt that way about some of the better Tangerine Dream records or Noi albums or Harmonia records, where you can almost sense where the voice would go, you know.
yeah absolutely.
So this next song that you guys are going to do is called You Still Rip. And that title, I mean, you know, that sounds like someone who's kind of like looking back maybe at his slightly younger self. And what's going on with this song?
It comes from being young and choosing my partner really young and early and sort of being us versus the world, almost like, you know, a much healthier Sid and Nancy or something. And but it, you know, it really felt like that back in the day, and you know, we were doing our highfalutin things and thinking our highfalutin thoughts and blazing forward and just having the feeling like we're still those people and still you know, admiring this person in the same way that I always have, and even more so because of obviously the history of everything, but still getting that exciting feeling of it sort of being us versus the world.
All right, let's hear this performance. The song is called You Still Rip. It's the band Lenzendorf. Thank you. Live performance from the band Lanzendorf and a song called You Still Rip from the second Lanzendorf record. And Scott, you guys still don't have any vowels in the name. You're gonna stick with the all consonant spelling, right?
Yeah, we stuck with that. I guess once you do it, you're kind of committed via all the streaming services and the general whatnot. So we are going to stick with it. We're sticking to our story. Yep. I think we initially did that to avoid confusion with the town of Lanzendorf in Austria.
We lost the domain name, right?
Yeah, the domain name was not available. There's a lot of things. So yeah, I think that it is funny though to follow hashtag Lanzendorf because you get a lot of posts from Lanzendorf, Austria. A lot of funeral parlors and barber shops. And interesting.
Have you been there?
We haven't been though. It'd be awesome to go.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's in a little toured region of Austria. Yeah.
All right. Well, but someday. How does the composition process work for this band?
It's pretty improvisational in the sense that we're all kind of, no one's come in with a song in this traditional sense and said, here's the A and the B and the C parts. And, you know, this is how it goes. It's more of a exploration that we then craft into songs after the fact. So some parts are more apparent or some things are more apparent from the get go. And then others are complete constructions over, you know, kind of taking out the elemental stuff and then either adding to it, taking stuff away, shortening it often. And a lot of these songs come out of like, you know, 10 to 20 minute long jam sessions. And then we sort of craft them into things that are, you know, more traditionally known as 3 minute songs.
Except most of them aren't.
Yeah.
And how do you guys, I suppose this question would have been more appropriate for the first Lanzendorf record where everybody was still touring but you know, the National have been doing things and, you know, obviously Scott and Ben, you've, you know, both been working with them, and Ben Beirut was sort of active for a while again. So,
you know,
how have you guys been able to carve out the time to do this?
Actually, the original sessions for this record, too, were made in 2019 in the fall. We recorded in September at the end of what would be the last U.S. tour the National did for quite some time.
Right.
And then, so we spent about 4 or 5 days in Austin, Texas doing that. And then, Ben, you sort of did the heavy lifting of editing and adding to, we finished national touring and then into 2020. And then before everything was shut down in March, basically, we did some mixing sessions at Long Pond up in upstate New York, Aaron's studio,
yeah.
Desner, not Arndt's, but...
Right, yes, yes.
Sorry, there's too many Aaron's. And anyway, so the three of us were up there with Bella Blasco, who is the engineer on the record, and we did the mixing up there. Since then, it's just sort of been a long a waiting game, I guess.
Yeah. The piece, in fact, that you're going to do next, Brace Yourself, is not one of those. I mean, Scott, you were talking about the kind of the driving pulse of a lot of the music that inspired this band and that you guys use in pieces like the Zerik Step. But this piece, it has a kind of a steady rhythm to it, but it's like not a dance rhythm. It's kind of a slower thing. Is that how those improvisations that you were talking about, does it start with like you and Brian kind of setting a groove?
I mean, it could be anyone, honestly. Like, we were sort of switching instruments during the recording sessions. I was playing bass, but I was also playing a lot of synth and little keyboardy stuff that was more ambient sounding. Brian was and Ben were both drumming from time to time. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Arndt was, he was moving around on a lot of keyboards. At some point, I think he was playing a flute-like instrument live in the room. Like, what was that? I forget, but...
There
was a lot of free improvisation on whatever object was at hand. So I wouldn't say that. I think what we'd often do is find whoever was setting it it could even be like a modular synth or something that was sort of creating a pattern. We would just sort of start improvising to that on whatever instrument of our choosing at the time. So yeah, I think for Brace Yourself, the beat was definitely something that kind of was there.
Yeah.
And that is sort of like the tonal center, I guess, of the sound of the song. It just has this kind of like, as Ben has said about it, it's like there's a note to the bass drum. And so the song is just kind of like, it's like this kind of resonating bass drum tone with kind of a lot of space and simplicity around it, basically.
And with more vocals, Ben, over the top, including some kind of backing vocals. So it sounds like everybody gets pressed into duty here. I'm going to assume that has to come last because, you know, you need to know the structure of the song, or maybe not. Maybe at some point you're creating the structure of the song. How does that work?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a mix. It's not dead last, because at some point it kind of, you know, makes some sections longer or shorter to work with the lyrics. But yeah, what we had in the jam and the thickening and then thinning out of the instrumental parts just seemed to really be wanting this vocal line and kind of like so many examples that I love, but I love when a song hits the chorus and pulls back instruments and everything goes away. It's like a Fugazi repeater, you know, they're jamming the whole verse and then all of a sudden they hit the chorus and all the distortion goes off and you're like, whoa, that's amazing. Anyway, not to compare us to Fugazi, but
but sort of like the opposite of the bass drop in EDM,
right?
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it would be like the bass drop. It wouldn't be like when the bass drop comes back, which is the money note for most people. But that moment where suddenly the texture clears out and you find yourself floating in space.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. And I love just having the backing vocals kind of ooing in there, and Brian does such a great job with it on this.
All right, let's hear a live performance of Brace Yourself. You'll find all of these tracks on the new album, the second by Lanzendorf, but here's a live performance of Brace Yourself. That is Lanzendorf with a final live performance for us of a song called Brace Yourself. And all three of the performances we've heard from Ben Lance, Scott Devendorf, Brian Devendorf, and Aaron Arntz, all three of these pieces are on the new record, the second from the band Lanzendorf. And so Ben, you're in Paris. Scott, you're out on Long Island. Brian and Aaron are in two completely different places. So how... I mean, it's great that you were able to do these performances for us today, but how were you able to do that? Is it, you know, what magic allows, because this is very synchronized music. You can't have any latency problems. You can't do this over Zoom is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And we didn't, I mean, we had to find a more creative sort of synthesized liveness with our synchronizing of the beat. You know, and it's interesting because for a band that everything we do just like feels like this sort of magic of like, just as soon as you start playing, everything works out, you know, everything's fine. And it's hard not to have that in person. But then strangely, it was possible to sort of use my best memories and energy of that experience and have it work out in a very similar way, although it definitely required, you know, for example, on Zarek's step, it required a little bit of like just assuming that Aaron was going to play his cool thing when I was going to play my cool thing. And then listening back, we're like, yes, it happened.
Well, you know, we're all learning to do things in very different ways during this time. And, you know, when we get back to quote unquote normality, some of these things will turn out to be useful, you know?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And for you, Scott, you know, what's, when you do have the chance to play this music live, what kind of spots do you guys normally find yourselves playing in? Because this is not a kind of music that, you know, you would play in, say, the larger halls that the National plays in. It seems more suited to a different kind of venue, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I mean, in the past, we did a few shows around the release of the first record, and those were in, three of them were in Berlin, on purpose.
Yes, I can see that.
And they were all in smaller clubs, and they were really fun to do because it was the four of us on stage and, you know, not a big production of any kind, and it was really just about the music and about, you know, cramming as many people into a little space as we could, which seems very foreign at the moment. Yeah. But we've played it. We played at Eau Claire's Festival.
Justin Vernon's place up in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yep. It kind of works in smaller and bigger. It's not like a arena style music at all. So I think we would love to do it in any kind of sort of like, forest or
wow, a forest. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if we're thinking about outdoors, you got to think ahead, right?
So, yeah.
Basements of classical music venues. That's our another specialty of ours. Yeah, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, now Scott, you're a Cincinnati boy. The Symphony Hall there is supposedly one of the most haunted buildings in the United States.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, you got to really? Get in the basement there and see what happens.
Yeah, we've been in the basement of the Taft Theater. That was one of our Lanzendorf shows at the Music Now Festival, Bryce's Festival from a few years back. So we'd love to return to that basement or any other basement.
Like the rest of us, Scott is eager to be anywhere. So, Scott, Ben, it's been a lot of fun having you guys, and Brian and Aaron. Thank you all for playing for us today. This has been great fun, and congratulations on the new record.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Lanzendorf 2 is out now, and the guys also put together a video of that first song, The Zarek Step, that they played for us today. You can watch that here on our website at newsounds.org or on our YouTube channel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer's Karen Havlick, David McLean is our video editor, and I'm John Schaefer.